We've all heard, "I can't take your call right now. Please leave a message." And then we all say something clever like, and talk into empty space, hoping our words will find their intended recipient eventually. Voicemail, the technology that outdated the answering machine, will soon suffer the same fate, according to Farhad Manju, the technology correspondent for Slate.com. He argues that voicemail is a backward mode of human-computer interaction, and that we have now better, faster, more efficient ways to ask Betsy if she can pick up a bottle of vinegar on the way home. Do you have problems with voicemail? Have you found a solution? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Farhad Manju joins us from member station KQED in San Francisco. Nice to have you back.
Hi, thanks. Nice to be here.
And you must really want sometimes to know that you need to pick up a bottle of vinegar or something else on the way home, too. Surely you want to get messages.
I do. Lately, though, I've been using one of many voicemail transcription services. The one I use is called Google Voice, but there are many available. And what they do is they basically change your voicemail into email. It uses a computer speech-to-text program, and it converts whatever message someone left you into text. It's not perfect. It doesn't get my name right sometimes.
I don't get your name right sometimes.
Right, exactly. So it translates Farhad into like Bob or Todd or something. But I get the gist of the message in email and I can respond that way. It's much faster than having to check in on my phone, dial in through several prompts, which is kind of the bane of voicemail. And so this is much faster and easier. And I found myself not checking voicemail very much.
And at that point, because it's being transcribed for you and sent onto your, I assume you have a BlackBerry or some such device.
Right. It's sent to my iPhone, and I check it that way. Or even if, I'm at my desk, I get it in an email. I don't have to look at my voicemail later on if I've been out or something like that.
And this, for you, eliminates one of those eternal technological headaches. Voicemail, a great idea, but, my phone, for example, doesn't always tell me when I have voicemail messages, and I just have to phone in every once in a while, and all of a sudden you have six voicemail messages, and then I can understand why people are a little irritated that I didn't show up for dinner on time.
Right. That's one of the persistent problems. The other problem is that voicemail just has a terrible user interface. So we all have cell phones where you call in, it tells you the same prompt. It tells you sort of repeatedly what to do, even though you've heard it 1,000 times before. And it's not consistent between systems. So like your cell phone has you press 5 to save a message, 7 to skip. Your office phone has you press totally different numbers. Nothing is the same. It's not easy to learn. And it's just kind of a general pain to deal with compared to all other ways we deal with computers.
My phone here at work will allow me to delete a message in mid-message if I don't want to hear the rest of it. My cell phone, however, will not. I have to listen to the whole darn thing.
Right. And the worst is when you listen to a message, it has the important stuff right at the end. So someone has left a phone number right at the end. You have to listen through the whole message before you can get to kind of the pertinent details.
We're talking with Farhad Manju, the technology columnist for Slate.com, who wrote, "You have no new messages ever," on why we should get rid of voicemail in favor of alternate technologies. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's even go to Jim. And Jim's with us from Russell in Kentucky.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
With over 40% of Americans not having access to high-speed internet, with a lot of us in Appalachian America and lots of other parts of rural America not having the technologies of email available and easy to use, we really have to keep embracing voicemail for the next long time foreseeable future without disenfranchising a large portion of poor America and rural America. And that really scares me when I hear somebody talking technology. You know, I'm a technologist. I teach it. But we've got to really balance our embracing of it, or we really are going to hurt some people.
Farhad, it's different if you're calling from Russell, Kentucky, or from San Francisco.
No, I agree. But I think that, voicemail isn't going to become obsolete as a technology. What we're seeing, though, is that people are just relying on it less. It's going to be available for people who still want it.
For that matter, some people still have answering machines.
Right, exactly. I've called into a couple answering machines lately. But, you know, you're just going to notice fewer and fewer people using it. The cell phone companies report that, you know, a third or more people just don't even call into their voicemail ever or wait several days between calling in. So it already seems that people are kind of laggards about voicemail.
Well, I've been a laggard about my email for several years.
I think a lot of people are, yeah.
There's a prince in Nigeria who keeps trying to get through to you. Jim, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to Tim, and Tim's with us from Toledo.
Hi. I agree with Mr. Manju that I find nothing more frustrating, exactly like he was talking about the interface system. And what really annoys me is that when people call me and they go, hey, it's just me, you must be busy or something, give me a call. Well, I know that from the caller ID that I missed a call, you know, that I know the time and I know who it was from. So, and then you have to try to navigate that interface system, and I waste 2-3 minutes minimum. And not that I'm so busy, but it's just frustrating to have to go through all those push one, push two, to find out that someone tried to call at 212 and I was busy and missed it. The people who use voicemail for non-messages are helping to kill it. I just don't even want to call in.
Tim, there's also another factor that I have to ask people about. Now, I talk on the radio for a living. Nevertheless, when I hear that beep go off and I'm supposed to start talking on the cell phone to deliver my message, I do that.
Exactly. Yeah, you freeze up, and that's the frustrating part about the voicemail. Also, is that the messages are pointless, and you get nothing out of it because they leave you nothing. That's the worst part about the whole voicemail system. On the flip side of that, I can agree with Jim in that my work is invaluable without voicemail. I'm out on the road in the field, and if I wasn't able to have people call the office and leave messages that I then can retrieve, then I would be lost, and they would, as he said, be disenfranchised from the system.
Yeah, but if you had one of those,
I don't want it to leave.
But if you had one of those devices like Farhad's talking about that would transcribe your voicemail messages and send them to you on email, would you do that?
That would make something so much easier. It really would improve the system.
Tim, thanks very much for the call.
Love the show.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to Kimberlyn. Kimberlyn with us from Tucson.
Hello there.
Hi.
I'm a real estate agent here in Tucson, and I don't think I could get by without my voicemail.
Because you're so many appointments, so many people you need to talk to and all that sort of thing?
I do, yes, especially when I have deals in escrow. Boy, at the end of the day, I'll scroll through all the phone calls that came and went from my cell phone, and it blows my own mind sometimes how many phone calls I deal with in a day, and I can't catch all of them. And the great thing about voicemail, as opposed to text messages or looking at email on my cell phone, is, you know, I hit one or two buttons on my cell phone, and through the speakerphone, I can listen to my voicemail messages while I'm driving across town from one appointment to another. And clearly, I could not do that, or I will not do that, you know, if I have to look at my phone for, like, text messages or emails.
Well, there's a difference, Farhad. You're really, as dangerous it is to listen to your messages while you're driving, texting, even worse.
Right. Well, I figured
that's
the radio safely while I'm driving. I can listen to some messages.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good point. Just don't try to write down the number while you're driving.
No. Wouldn't do that.
Kimberlyn, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. And there's one question I had for you, Farhad. How quickly does this this thing transcribe the voicemail message and send it to you by email? Does it take 30 seconds, or does it take 2 hours?
It's within about 5 minutes, I've noticed. I notice a call come in, and within about 3 or 4 minutes, I have the transcription. I mean, especially when the message is short, it's quick and it's easy to do. It seems like it doesn't take very long. It's quick enough that it makes it pretty useful.
Let's go to Courtney. Courtney calling us from Boston.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I'm a dental hygienist, and I use voicemail oftentimes calling patients to make appointments and such. And we do use email and for making appointments as well, but that works for some people, as your other caller had mentioned. But my concern is that in this age where people, you know, your legal rights and your privacy is so important, there's no way to track what kind of a message that I leave for my patients. And obviously, we don't leave information that's too terribly personal, but there's no way to document accurately and to prove from either side what was left in a voicemail. So that's, you know, one concern that we have in the medical community.
I can understand also not wanting to leave, the tests have come back, and yes, you do have cancer. You don't want that, find that on voicemail.
That is never said. No, that's not very nice.
And again, if you had one of these services that would transcribe it and send it to you by email, well, I guess precision is important to you if you're in the medical business.
Absolutely. That would be very helpful. But, still there's a personal element that we don't want to lose in our practice of only talking to people electronically. We really, in our practice, we really value personal interest and communication. So it's a fine line.
Courtney, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Courtney calling us from Boston. We're speaking with Farhad Manju, the technology columnist at Slate.com. His most recent piece, you have no new messages ever on why the voicemail may be soon going the way of the answering machine, not going extinct, but becoming considerably less important in our lives. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Terry's calling. Terry from San Antonio.
Hi. I can agree with everything that I've heard about the frustrations of voicemail, but one thing I really like about it, my friend and I are both moms of school-aged children, and sometimes we can't quite connect. And so we'll leave each other lengthy messages, sometimes as long as 5 minutes. And when I see her name on my phone, it's like getting a note that you used to pass in elementary school, because I know I'm going to get to listen to something funny or interesting. So in that way, I really enjoy voicemail.
Yeah, there is, Farhad, also a quality of the human voice that does not translate necessarily to email.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. When I wrote the article, I got a number of responses from people who said that they had been saving voicemail from people who had since passed away, and they periodically dial in just to listen to their voices again. And I think that's sort of an element that we might miss from voicemail. But I think in general, though, on the flip side, we do tend to leave each other messages that aren't worthy of saving. So that's something to balance.
Most poignantly, I guess the message. Messages, people on some of those planes on 9/11 called in and left messages for their loved ones, and those have been saved. Terry, thanks very much.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Chris in Tucson.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I wanted to just expand upon the conversation about Google Voice. I use it exclusively, and one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that you do actually have the option to call in the way you would with standard voicemail if you choose. Most importantly for me, I can have my phone off because I work in a school, and I get not only the text message, which, again, it's not accurate, but it gives me enough information to know what the call is about, but I can pull it up on my web browser and listen to it through my computer. It's stored the same way as a regular voicemail. I can access it from my phone, but as far as the computer goes, I can download it as a sound file and keep it. So, if you want to hear somebody's voice, I can store it and put it in my MP3 player if I want to.
So new, improved, all of the old advantages and more.
Yeah, I mean, it does everything voicemail does and adds a lot of convenience. And if you're like me and you're occasionally behind on paying bills, you get the calls that say, by listening to this message, you acknowledge blah, blah, blah. I don't know the legality of it, but when it comes in with a text message, I consider that I didn't listen to the message, so I don't acknowledge whatever those people wanted.
Are you a lawyer, by any chance, Chris?
No, I'm not. It just annoys me when I get a voicemail that says, by listening to the voicemail, you've acknowledged whatever they say.
Right. It's a little like
about,
meeting a process server.
Without listening to it, which means I acknowledge it, and that's...
Well, I get annoyed at this is my second notice that the warranty on my vehicle, which I don't have, may have expired. Thanks very much, Chris. And those points are good ones. And I wanted to ask Farhad also, your frustrations with this, with voicemail, as a system, you're immensely impressed by these new technologies and how they have come to address the problem.
I am, yeah. And I mean, I think that the internet and sort of the digitization of phones is allowing us to sort of see improvements to voicemail. So we may not see it sort of go away forever, but as the caller mentioned, we're just seeing improvements where we can get our voicemail in more places and, you know, in different ways, transcribed and, you know, wherever we want.
Google Voice is not merely an improvement. You like it because it's elegant.
I do, yes. It has a great, I mean, for the first time somebody's thinking about the user interface for voicemail, which I think that has long been neglected because, you know, because we had no choice before. We would get a cell phone and we would take the voicemail that came along with it and you wouldn't really have a choice. This sort of gives you a way to choose.
And what do you say to those who say, look, voicemail is inherently warmer, the sound of your loved one's voice?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that it's sort of the same thing with email. For most of our communications, I think we'll get by with text alone. For some things, you know, the phone is immeasurably better, and I think we'll rely on that kind of slower technology for things that are more meaningful and save our time for not dealing with the annoying stuff.
Farhad Manjoo, thank you very much for your time, as always.
Great, thanks a lot.
Farhad Manjoo, the technology correspondent for Slate.com, and he joined us from member station KQED in San Francisco. Tomorrow in this hour, Lost, 24, Grey's Anatomy all end their seasons this month, among many other TV shows. What makes a great season finale? Join us for that tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.